Genesis chapter 2. As we started in chapter 2, there's a change. Remember, verse 4 wasn't about the days of creation. It kind of jumped into some specifics. And we saw there, it talked about God creating the plants and the animals, went over that. God's creation of man and some additional details that we didn't find. We've been through several of these verses. The Garden of Eden, that wasn't brought up during the first 7 days of creation. And man, this place that God had created for man, we see that there was specific location that lends credibility to the fact that the Garden of Eden was a real place. I mean, we know it was a real place, but still, you have these details as far as where it was located, and the chances of locating it nowadays are slim to none, because after the flood, obviously, a lot of these landmarks or rivers that were given were destroyed or changed. We see farther down a few verses that God had, well, actually saw back in some of these verses that God had planted specifically in the garden two specific trees. The only two that are mentioned specifically, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As we went through these verses, we saw that God had given man a restriction on one of those trees. Everything else he could freely eat, but not of that. And we see that he placed that restriction on those. We also saw that out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the air and the field and brought them to Adam and allowed Adam to name them, which is interesting. The Creator that created all these allowed his, maybe what you'd say, his greatest creation to then name the animal. Shows that obviously created in God's image, Adam was probably the smartest person there ever was or ever will be because of that and before the fall and the deterioration of mankind. So Adam named the animals. Verse 20, Adam gave the names to all the cattle, all the fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam was not found a helpmeet for him. And it's interesting how the events took place. God had created a male and female of every kind of animal there was, yet at this point he had not yet created the partner or mate or companion or helpmeet for Adam. And God had a special plan, probably because as human beings, we are God's, again, special creation. And he had a special relationship with man and a special relationship that he's creating between man and his companion or helpmeet or mate or spouse, we may say, in this day and age. So verse 21 is about where we came to last week. And the Lord God caused Adam to sleep, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. Rib here really means side, so God took a portion of Adam's side. We all know that men have one less rib than women. We also know that the illustration here, the picture, again, Eve was, well, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto man. So, again, Eve was formed out of man's side, again, not from his foot to be lower, from his head to be superior, but out of his side to be a helpmeet, to come alongside, and for them to accomplish together the task that God had given to them. We've all heard those illustrations, and this is a great picture of those things. Interesting, as you think about it, man was formed from what? The dust of the earth. Woman was formed from what? not the dust of the earth, from Adam, right? It's kind of interesting. In thinking about this, and we actually see this later after the fall, man is the one that goes out and plows or tills and plants and provides for his spouse, his family. Man is the one that goes out and hunts and finds and provides. Not that no women ever hunt or plant or provide, but in general, man has that connection with the outdoors, with the ground, with the soil. Woman's connection is what? Not necessarily the planting of the field and the sowing and the tilling, but the home, because she cares for the home, which is taking care of her husband, right? And I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, but that's the way it is, that's the way it was. And if you stop and think about when we get into even the fall, the curse for man was what? Tilling in the ground. Now your job is harder. The curse for the woman is what? Dealing with the husband. Now your job is harder. It didn't say that the woman had to go till the ground and the man had to keep the house or care for his wife, did it? You see how the connection goes? And interesting here that man was formed out of the dust of the earth, and there's his connection. And woman was formed from man as a helper, as a companion, as someone to come alongside and accomplish the task that God had given to him. What was the task that God had given to them? Okay, take care of the garden, and what else? Pardon me? Okay, replenish or fill the earth. Adam couldn't do that on his own. He needed that companion to help me, someone fit for him. So it says, verse 22, and brought her unto the man. So Adam went into the surgery room. God removed part of Adam, used that to form woman. Adam says, when God presents her to Adam after Adam's recovered from anesthesia, anybody ever been through that? Kind of soggy, groggy when you wake up? Okay. He recovers, and God has presented now a helpmeet that he sees is what? Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. In other words, Adam understood what had taken place. God didn't just come say, oh, you're out for sleep, and he didn't know what was going on. Apparently, not that Adam had to recover from surgery. I'm not going that far. But he understood what had taken place. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she should be called woman because she is taken out of man. Again, God allows Adam to name this that he has created. And this is the name that Adam gives her. Doug.
What I've read is the rib cage has a membrane over it, and a rib will grow back. If they were to remove a rib, it will grow back because of that membrane. As long as that membrane isn't disturbed, no other bone in your body is like that, only the ribs.
Okay.
And so that's interesting, you know, that you took it from his rib.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in the way that God has created. So, Adam says, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she's made from man. So Adam obviously understood the process, or at least something, at least what had taken place, that he didn't just fall asleep and then wake up. He kind of understood what was going on. So anyhow, and then, before we get to verse 24 and 25, which finishes off chapter 2, remember I gave you an assignment last week. Remember what the assignment was? Okay. Your assignment was, as we hit chapter 2, we get more details about creation, right? Chapter 2 isn't necessarily take place. It's not necessarily in chronological order, is what I'm saying. It's not. This stuff doesn't take place necessarily after the days of creation. So it wasn't the 7 days of creation, then, and then, oh, by the way, God created the Garden of Eden. Actually, let's take a look at these. Each of these things here. after the days of creation, actually back up to chapter or verse 7, which is the first event that we're told about. It said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." This gives us more details than we were told back in chapter 1. So it's giving us some more details, but we know that this part actually took place on when? Day 6, when God formed man. So we know that this event took place on day 6. We turn the page. Well, in my book, Bible, you turn the page. Verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden, the garden eastward of Eden," or the east edge of Eden. When did God do this? It's interesting to look at these events, and how did this timeline take place? Well, he could have created the garden on, what, after the seventh day? Some people think that it was later. Okay, it could have been the third day, right? When God created the plants. He could have created the garden then, when he was creating the plants. And I tend to lean that way. It could, maybe he did it on the sixth day when he created man, but it doesn't seem to fit there. So when exactly did he create it? And again, is this going to change our theology as to which day? No, but I would tend to, well, okay, let's keep going. I want to bring up all these things, and then we'll go back and talk about specifically. I've heard or read that some people think that Adam watched God create the Garden of Eden, which meant that it would have had to been on the sixth day or later for man to watch what he had done. I don't know. I don't know where they get that. Because it says in that verse, "And he put man in the Garden of Eden." Maybe assuming that man was someplace else, and that after he created the garden, then he put man there. So in putting man there, was that on the sixth day when he created man? Did he create man and put him instantly in the Garden of Eden? Or did he put him in there at some other time? Exactly when did that take place? Adam names the animals on the sixth day. Was it on the sixth day when he created Adam that Adam named all the animals? Or was that at a later time? If he named the animals let's keep going. There's another thing. And the creation of the woman, was that on the sixth day when he created Adam, or was that on a later time after the 7 days of creation? See, how does all this stuff fit together? anybody want to take a guess? Not that I have all the answers, but here's a possibility. I think, in thinking about this, and to tell you the truth, sometimes you know what happened on the days of creation, and you read through chapter 1 of Genesis and chapter 2, and you don't stop to think about how it, I mean, you understand, yes, God created man, God created the Garden of Eden, he put him there, they lived there, he created Eve, but as far as that time frame goes, how does everything work? Here's one possibility. You may agree, you may disagree, that's fine. I think that the garden was actually created on the third day when God created the plants and the grasses of the field. And I actually think that God created, when he created that, he created a special place. Along with everything else he created that special place. There was nobody in that place yet, but he prepared a place for Adam that was special for him, his special creation, as he was creating the plants and everything else. That's just my opinion. You can have a different opinion. That's fine.
He knew his plan.
Pardon me?
He knew his plan.
Well, yes. To me, it seems to fit better that he was created then. We know when Adam was created on the sixth day, verse 7, chapter 2. So we already know when that took place, Adam's creation. Knowing that, well, let me go a little farther here. Adam names the animals. So if Adam named the animals, and because he named the animals and didn't find someone suitable for him, that means that he would have had to name the animals before Eve was formed, right? Okay, so then when was the woman made? Because that's going to be the key to the timeline of these other things. Woman was formed and presented to Adam, but when did that take place? Yeah, 27 is the one you're heading for, because that's where I was
God
going.
God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Created him. He blessed them, said be fruitful, and verse 31, that was the evening and the morning of the sixth day.
Right.
I think it was the same day that God created Adam. What do you want to call these animals? There's none for you. God put him to sleep, and it was still all in that same day.
Okay.
We don't know how many animals there were. There doesn't have to be a whole lot of animals. Like dogs, we've bred most dogs into what they are today.
Mm-hmm.
It could just have been one dog.
Right.
One bird. I mean, it didn't have to be millions of animals.
Right. Right.
Basic species.
Right.
You know, I have never studied that to see how many basic species there really are.
Right.
Because
but
all the animals come from other animals.
Right. And if it was Adam's job, did you catch that? It said, God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and what? Brought them unto Adam. Adam didn't have to go out and search for the zebras and the camels and, you know, whatever. Right. God brought them, paraded them before Adam, and all he had to do was take a look and consider and name them. So, yes, I think that Eve was made on the sixth day, although in the 7 days of creation, we don't see her mentioned there. But then again, we know that chapter 2 is more details of what took place in the days of creation.
There you go. That's how we look at chapter 2.
Yep.
It's filling in a lot of the missing pieces.
Right. Something else. I don't know if you caught it or not. Read verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is what? Not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And again, we talked about this verse when we got here. It's not like all of a sudden God realized, oops, I made a mistake and I forgot something. God doesn't make mistakes and God doesn't forget. God understood that, but he had a special purpose in the creation of man as opposed to animals. He has a special relationship with man and woman that's different from animals. And the relationship, even in a man with his mate or his helpmeet or his companion or his helper, is completely different than animals. Go ahead, Stan.
I was thinking earlier, God works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always factual.
Yep.
But he's also putting out the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. The truth is there.
Whatever, you know, you could think one thing one year, and 30 years down the road, you're totally thinking something else.
Yeah.
And it's all because of.
But the truth is there. Sometimes our eyes are just open to the truth. So, go ahead.
God's timeline's not the same as ours either.
His what?
His timeline.
Oh, his timeline, right. Yeah, but we've already talked about that the days of creation are basically physical days, because as soon as you stretch it into something longer, then you begin to stretch towards, well, maybe how long was that day?
And you open the door to evolution.
Right. Okay, so...
That's why it's important to remember that phrase, the evening and the morning.
Right, exactly.
The morning.
Yep.
So they weren't a thousand-year periods.
Right.
No,
yep.
It was an evening and the morning. The
right.
Sun.
Right, so my point, verse 18 said, he said, and it is not good. But what did he say at the end of the sixth day? It was what?
Everything was good.
Yes, everything was good. So even in those two statements, it would seem to indicate that if Adam not having a wife or having a mate or helpmate or companion was not good, but everything was good at the end of the sixth day, then obviously the formation of the woman had to take place on the sixth day. So,
I guess we also have to look at, this is English. Is this the same good in Hebrew as the other good?
Yeah.
And that's another thing we'd have to do at word study.
Right. Is all the goods the same thing? And at the end of this, if all this took place after the days of creation, then how come on the seventh day he said everything was what? Very good. Very good is the sixth day?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
31.
Right. The end of the sixth day, everything was very good. Not just good like the other days, but very good. So it would seem to be that the woman was created on the sixth day. So the timeline of the sixth day, however that events take place, God had created Adam. I think he put Adam in the Garden of Eden after he created him. This is your special place that I've created for you. I don't think the Garden of Eden was created later. I think it was before man was formed. He was put there, like it says in verse 8 and verse 15. God put him there. Adam saw all the animals come by, named them. God created woman on the sixth day. The only thing I can't timeline is the warning that God gave to man. Now, he could have given him that warning before he had created Eve. And man could have passed along that warning to Eve. He could have created Eve prior to giving the restriction about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In which case, that warning could have been given to both of them.
What I believe is, it says he commanded the man, not the man and the woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's in 16.
Yeah.
It doesn't say commanded man and woman. And then he formed the woman after that. And so maybe.
Well, if indeed these are chronological. Right.
So
another possibility. Does it change our theology No, it's just interesting to see how these things fit together. Stan.
I agree with Doug. I think that man's the devious one.
The devious one. Anymore, we're all devious. I don't think we can.
No, that's true.
Do what?
When the serpent deceived Eve, Adam was standing right behind him because she turned and gave him the eat. And so he was standing right there knowing better and ate it anyway.
Yeah, or she could have given walked somewhere and given it to him later. Doesn't mean he was. It says he was standing right there. Well, we'll get to that. Hang on. We'll get to that when we get to chapter 2. That's coming. Verse 24, after God presents Eve to Adam, Adam says, this is good, what God has given me. This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman because she's taken out of man. We're told here, therefore, and we all know this verse, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be made one flesh. Here we see the institution of what?
Marriage.
This is God's plan. One woman, one man, marriage for life. That's God's plan.
He you're living in the 21st
century. Yeah. He instituted it here. I don't know if I got time to read this or not. Cleave here is a strong word meaning join, stick to. The two verbs leave and cleave may be subordinate in the following way. Let a man forsake or abandon his father and his mother in order that he may cleave unto his wife and in order that they might become one flesh. If he does not leave, he cannot cleave, nor can he become the one flesh. This is the strongest Hebrew construction and indication to indicate that change of state, the process of becoming one flesh, totally united in life, purpose, and pleasure is presented. And then we'll see in verse 7, once we get to the next chapter, the change in that relationship. So it's interesting here. We understand that God has a special purpose, a special creation in man and woman, and a special relationship that's different from any other relationship in the animal kingdom or here on earth as far as man and wife. And so he institutes marriage at this point. And then the last, we'll get into chapter 3 next week, but the last verse here, verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There's no sin. There's no shame involved here. Their outward nakedness was a sign of their integrity. No sin in their lives. They lived and moved without guilt or shame because there was no sin to be guilty or shameful. and it's interesting that that's what changed as soon as sin came into the world. What's one of the first things they did?
Tried to cover themselves.
Because of the sin and shame that was brought into the world. And this is where Satan attacks versus our integrity. This is the end of chapter 2. This is the end of the perfect world. And we'll get into the fall of man, which is chapter 3. In 2 weeks, yes, if I'm not here next week. Yep. Okay. Okay. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.